This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. It's so good once again to be with you and to be able to share with you what is on our hearts and what is so, so very important. And, of course, this is the first program of the month that we are going to go into. And we are going to be talking about denial and change and how breaking away from denial is so important so that we are able to change. And last month we spoke about
a Christ-centered recovery
program. And if you missed any of those and you want to re-listen or even previous months.
Or get someone else to listen.
Yeah. Go to www.kpulpit.co.za/podcasts/IntoMeC. Listen to a podcast and copy the link and send it to a friend who you think may need that specific podcast. So it's such a privilege for us to be with you again. And I'm so glad that Suki is with me. And hi, Suki.
Ooh, I came in long ago.
Yeah.
Yes, really, to talk about denial is such an important topic. We're thinking because as we deal in this program, we deal with addiction. And denial is
Subtle thing?
Yeah. But it's so part of addiction. Because most often when people have a struggle, are addicted, they don't think they are.
Yeah. And I think that is why the quote that you have here, Suki, is denial is a powerful coping mechanism to delay facing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so easily we say to ourselves we are living in reality, but then we are full of denial about what is happening in our lives.
Yes, indeed. I remember also in our situation when you struggled with the addiction, for a long time I was in denial too, because I didn't know it was an addiction. Mm. I knew you struggled with porn, you told me,
mm-hmm.
and I thought we're going to pray this away,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to pray and we're going to fight, and in the name of Jesus, this thing will go.
Mm.
I did not think, it was only after years when I came to the realization that I think you are addicted,
yeah,
because you couldn't stop. And especially with you, I remember that your addiction wasn't frequent.
Mm-hmm.
With some people, it's, you know, it's an everyday thing. But mm-hmm. with you, it was once in a few months. And so that was hard to realize that it was an addiction.
Yeah, but that was very much what was happening in my head and my heart, Suki. Firstly, I thought, I've got this under my thumb. I'll be able to deal with this. It's not very often. And it's not very severe. And every time I promise I will not do it again, but I do it again. And it was only when you very strongly encouraged me to do an online test whether I have an addiction or not, that I was actually very shocked to realize, even if it was just a slight bit of an addiction, I had a sexual addiction. And it was only at that point where I realized I have a sexual addiction that I started earnestly, maybe 2 out of 10, to seek a way to change it and a way to stop. Mm. And most of those efforts were my own efforts.
So when you look back now, you say 2 out of 10, because then you thought it was earnestly. You probably thought it was 8 out of 10, right?
Yeah.
But when you look back, you think earnestly wasn't that earnest.
Yeah.
So actually you were still in denial. You just started facing that. There might be a slight problem, but you didn't realize how big it is.
I didn't realize how big it was.
So I think when we talk about denial, it's not only denial for the person struggling with the addiction, but also for the family members. Because sometimes, especially the mom of a child that struggles with an addiction, can just say that, well, it's not such a problem. He's fine. He's a good child. You know, he's trying his best, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't help the situation at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like with me, because we were missionaries at the time, mm-hmm. and that's why we're presenting this program to a church audience, because we know, according to statistics in America, that up to 60% of people in churches struggle with pornography.
The statistics, according to a blocking program or an accountability program called Covenant Eyes, that you install, that one can install on the computer. So that's one of the tools people can use. They say that there are at least 70% of Christian men that struggle with some form, at some level, of sexual addiction.
Mm.
And sadly to say, it's not only the men, but they say the statistics tell them that 20% of Christian women struggle with such an addiction.
I think it was more. I think it was between 20 and 40% even. Yeah.
And then that there are actually Christian leaders or of churches, whether they are deacons, elders, or pastors, about 60% of them that may not struggle with a deep-rooted and a severe addiction, but they have some struggle of a sexual struggle.
Mm. And that's why it's so important to talk about it on a program like this, because I think many people might say, you know, this is it's a church audience that you're talking to. Why do you even mention these things? It's despicable. But we all know that we are sinners, eh?
But that's why Suki Jeremiah 6:41 in the particular translation says, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there.
And
I think very often we try and think it away or try hope that time will heal it and it will just go away. And very often even leaders in the church see it that way. Say, oh, it's not such a big problem. We're going to go through this quick, and we're going to sort this out.
Mm. And also because of shame, hey?
Mm.
We don't realize shame is such a subtle thing.
Mm.
Jesus died for our shame, but so often we don't even realize we have shame. And I think shame is such a prevalent thing in churches when these problems shouldn't be there.
Mm.
We think, well, that's what the Bible says. I mean, it's no news for anybody. Everybody knows this is wrong. Why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you keep doing it if you shouldn't be doing it?
Yeah.
And especially for us on the mission field, it was a very shameful thing for me because
and
I couldn't speak. I couldn't speak to other people about this because, I mean, all these holy missionary wives. And the amazing thing is that the Lord helped me to find one of those holy ladies whose husbands got exactly the same problem. And not even one. I eventually had four of them, friends, whose husbands were struggling. So that is why it's so important to talk and to be honest and to be open, not with everybody.
Yep.
We need to be discreet, you know. But
with safe people. Certainly.
Yeah, with safe people, to try and find safe people that we can talk to, because it takes us out of the denial, it takes us out of the shame. And when we're out of the shame, then we can start talking about the problem.
Yeah, so you know, this the denial, Suki, and the shame, what it does, it disables our feelings. And I can just remember how I struggled just to be aware of my feelings and to express them and give them a name. And what eventually happens is our denial freezes our feelings, and they really need to be freed up, not freezed up, but freed up. And, you know, 2 Peter 2:19 says, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves to their destructive habits. For a man is a slave of anything that he has conquered him.
Mm.
A side effect of denial is anxiety as well.
Yeah, but you were talking about a slave of anything that has conquered him.
Yeah, that's right.
So that could be any addiction, whether it's gambling, whether it's internet, I think the internet is something we rarely talk about, but so many of us get addicted to our phones. It's the first thing we reach in the morning. And I know Frederick and I have been struggling a long time to try and say, we're not going to touch that phone. We want to spend time with Jesus before we touch the phone. Hey, and also statistics say that that average a person picks up your phone like hundreds of times a day.
Never mind thousands. Some people.
For some people. So it's so important to realize if we have any habits that start taking us over, that start taking us away from Jesus, because all these things, these distractions, take us away from a relationship with ourselves, because we don't have time to think, to contemplate, relationship with others, and a relationship with God, because we feel guilty, we know we shouldn't be doing it, and we keep doing it, and it takes us away from praying, from reading scripture, right?
You know, Suki, deep down, we know we have a problem. I mean, I knew I had a problem before I thought it was an addiction, or I realized it was an addiction. And that is exactly what denial is. You know, you have some type of problem, but you continue to say, no, it's not such a big thing, or you diminish it and you minimize it. It's really a great problem because we stay in denial, and the denial perpetuates our inability to start growing, our inability to start to change.
It locks us into sin.
And that sin and that denial breaks our intimacy with God, with others, and with ourselves.
Listen, as we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. Frederick, I remember that I spoke about your issue with addiction and when we were on the mission field. And then for a long time that I myself was in denial about your addiction. And it was years when I realized that you might have an addiction when I started reading up about that. And then I also started reading up about my response. So I went into Christian websites of people talking about this. That's why it's so important for us to ask, because we want to get advice from other Christians, right? We don't want to get advice from the world. I mean, that doesn't mean that everything they say is wrong. We can certainly learn from them. But I wanted to go to other Christian people that had a problem with this. Yeah. And I remember Marsha Means. She's Patrick Means' wife. And I can't remember what the website was called then. It's now Circles of Joy. And so, listeners, feel free to go and look at that, where she said, you cannot think it's going to stop. You need to address it. You need to rock the boat. And that was very hard for me. So I had to realize first, I had to come out of denial about the addiction. And then I had to speak the truth in love, which is not easy. Because if you do that, you're not going to be met with, oh, thanks for telling me. No. Maybe you want to come in there.
Yeah, no, Suki, it was really because of the shame that I was experiencing. It was very uncomfortable for me to hear that I have a problem. So that kept me, the shame kept me in denial. And then also, to think that you're going to be rocking the boat was frightening.
Because I said I would tell the missions organization.
Yes, yeah. So there were a number of ways. That wasn't the final spilling the apple cart. I think you started rocking the boat by saying, are you going to share with our missions organization what position we are in, because it's not just an individual problem, it's a couple problem.
It's affecting us, yeah.
It's actually a family problem. So it was affecting both of us. And so I eventually did share with the missions organization, and they offered some form of help, but it didn't change me. It didn't change me. I needed something more desperate. A greater crisis to really start reaching out for help, because I was still trying all the harder to do it myself.
So there were times when I really said, that I would leave you. And it wasn't a threat. It was just because I didn't think I could do it anymore.
Mm.
And that was very hard for me to get to that. And you know what, Frederick? I think a person's marriage can become like an idol.
Mm.
I mean, it sounds wrong now, right? Because we need to be faithful to our husbands. And the Bible says we shouldn't divorce.
Mm.
But where that almost becomes more important than my relationship with Christ and the effect that this whole thing is having on us and me and us as a family.
Mm.
So it felt very wrong when I said that. It felt terrible. It felt unkind. But actually...
It didn't feel quite Christian, did it?
It felt very unchristian.
Mm.
But what effect did it have in you?
Yeah, the effect that it had on me, the addiction, was that it was breaking my relationship with you, breaking my intimacy with God and with you, with myself, with our children.
No, I mean, what effect did it have on you when I said, I think I would leave you, I can't stay?
Oh, yes, that was very, very important. And we know that in the AA, they talk about the gift of desperation.
Mm.
And I was really at a point of desperation where I said, I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want to lose our family. I don't want to lose our career. I better start reaching out for help.
Mm. So that's often what a person needs to break through the denial, the truth. And not only the truth, I mean, I'm not threat. That's not what we're promoting here at all. But the realization of what the effect is of what you are doing on other people.
Yeah. And I think really it's not a threat, Suki. It's I experience it as more of we are in a big mess.
Mm.
And you were saying, I'm not prepared to stay in this mess unless you start doing something to change.
Mm.
And I think that is the point that that I eventually got to realize, but how serious and how badly I had affected you and so forth.
And here I just want to speak to partners, especially the women, or it could be the husbands of someone that struggles with an addiction. How hard it is for you to own your truth and to acknowledge how this thing is destroying the family, how it's destroying your relationship, and to be honest about it, because it's not easy to be honest, because when a person is honest, you're often met with a whole lot of denial that actually comes in the form of blame, right?
Mm.
Because the best way to get the attention away from the person where the problem is directed to is to project it on someone else.
Mm.
So in those times, I remember you would blame me for things, and it wasn't like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I know I have a problem. Not at all.
Mm. I can recall, Suki, that I actually started forming resentments.
Mm.
Resentments towards you for calling me out, for calling out the problem and addressing it and speaking about it and not letting me be comfortable in my denial.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then also maybe pointing things out in me that might have been legitimate, that often were legitimate, but that caused me to think I'm the problem.
Yeah.
So I, for years and years, I thought I was the problem. Mm. I thought I was the one that caused you because I maybe wasn't sexy enough. I wasn't good enough. I was too critical. So it took me so long to separate this and to know this is not about me. An addiction is a deep-seated problem that needs help, and I cannot fix it. I haven't caused it. I can't cure it, and I can't. I forgot the other C now. There are three Cs.
Mm.
But I'm not responsible for this, and I think this is very important what partners need to hear. Because it's often that causes us not to speak out and to keep on thinking that we need to change. And I mean, all of us need to change. All of us have problems and make mistakes.
Mm.
But this is the main thing is the addiction needs to be addressed.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Mm. You know, I mentioned resentments just now.
Mm.
And just the very, very bad effect of denial that goes into resentments and how resentments can I mean, they say in many of the groups that resentment is one of the core obstacles, one of the main obstacles to change. When we carry resentments.
It's like a bitter root. Hey, it's a bitter root. The Bible calls it a bitter root.
And you know, from resentment comes judgment, not only of other people, but of myself, and resenting for what I'd done.
Yeah. Frederick, earlier I was thinking about Adam and Eve and how they hid.
Yes.
Because hiding, the moment when we know that you did something wrong, we hide. And denial is like hiding, hey? Sometimes you know you're hiding. Other times you don't know you're hiding. You just hide. You keep hiding. And you don't want anyone to open up whatever you're trying to hide. And if you're going to open up, then that person that's hiding is going to be, you know, is going to come for the person that's trying to open up this problem, right?
I just see how Adam and Eve were actually in resenting each other and resenting God.
Because they were hiding.
Adam was saying, it was this woman gave me fruit.
Blame.
And I ate it. So that blame and becomes resentment because, and then he says, the woman you gave me.
Yes, what a cheek.
Yeah, saying that it is God's fault and start resenting what had been given to him. And so resentment is really a core issue in our addiction.
And then Adam, that kept quiet when Eve started eating the fruit.
Yeah.
And that's also a thing, hey, where men often keep quiet when they need to speak out. But it was all, and then to think about what happened in Genesis 3 with God that had come to the garden. Wasn't that beautiful,
yeah.
Frederick, when he found them, that he took away the fig leaves and he made clothes for them because they were covering up with fig leaves. And that's part of the denial, I think, that gets us to cover up. We try ourselves to fix the problem and to cover up the problem.
Yeah, and that the clothes were made from camel's skin, which required a sacrifice of blood. And eventually we know that Jesus died for us and he shed his blood for our shame, for our sins and our addictions. And we need to go into that Christ-centered recovery groups so that we may find healing and bettership.
And also listen to programs like this. Get all the information you need. Because if a person needs to get out of denial, you need information to help you to know, is this really a problem? And if it's a problem, how to get to address this problem?
Yeah.
And there is hope.
Yes. That is the most wonderful thing of all, Suki. There is hope. And I often say that hope is spelt with a capital letter because it's Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
And as we get to that point, Suki, let's close off our program. And listeners, if you have missed any of our previous programs in the previous months, get to www.kpulpit.co.za/podcasts/IntoMeC.
And stay tuned in because we're going to speak to the next 2 weeks to Gert Moelman, and he's going to talk a lot more about denial from the perspective of a counselor and also from the lives of his counselees in his own life. Till next time, God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.